There's nothing special about being American. None of you can define for me what an American is.
I am the nation. I was born on July 4th, 1776, and the Declaration of Independence is my birth certificate. The bloodlines of the world run in my veins because I offered freedom to the oppressed. I am many things and many people. I am the nation. I'm 200 million living souls and the ghost of millions who have lived and died for me. I'm Nathan Hale and Paul Revere. I stood at Lexington and fired the shot heard round the world. I'm Washington, Jefferson, Patrick Henry. I'm John Paul Jones, the Green Mountain Boys, Davy Crockett. I'm Lee.
Coming to you from the D-Tom Studios in the free state of Florida, sponsored by Maker's Mark Bourbon. This is Don't Tread on America. I am your host, Don Vacation Q. Let's go. Alright, how's everybody doing out there today? It is Monday, March 11th, 2023, and as you heard there, I'm on vacation. So, here's the magic of doing a podcast. Okay, so here's what I'm going to do versus what all the big boys do when they go on vacation. So, all these other guys, they get paid to do this job. Go on vacation. We're not going to be here next week. We're on vacation. Suck it. You know, they don't really say that, but, you know, it's kind of what they do. They don't do anything. They might fill in some whatever. Or they'll just play reruns, or they won't do anything. And you'll have nothing to listen to for a solid week. Now, are they entitled to do so? Sure. Knock yourself out. I'm on vacation for 2 weeks, okay? And I'm actually recording this. Technically, I'm not on vacation as of right now that I'm recording this. So, I recorded this before I went on vacation. It's actually March the 4th as I'm recording this. Weird, right? But with the magic of podcasting, I can record a show and I can talk about something that I think is important. It's not necessarily topical. It's not like, oh, Trump, blah, 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 or Nikki Haley, blah, blah, blah. You know, that'll be, you know, on my real shows when I do them on the 5th, tomorrow, but last week, what next, but you know what I'm saying. So I don't want to confuse you guys. This will come out on the 11th of March, which will be a Monday. I will do 4 shows while I'm out. I'm going to pre-record them. Not really sure what all of them will be, but this show today will be about a subject that I find very interesting, and you just have to wait and see. You have to make up your own mind. But before we get into all that, I will be doing 4 shows, so you'll have this one on the 11th, then on the 14th, I think, is a Thursday. I'm going to schedule one. And then the following Monday, which will be the 18th, and then the following Thursday, which will be, I think, the 21st. So please, guys, I've said this 100 times. I've actually said it 300 times. I've actually said it 375 times. But guys, whatever podcast app you're listening to this on, guys, please make sure you're following the show so you can get these updates when I do a show. And yes, I did say do. But this week for me, as it is actually March 4th as I'm recording this, is going to be a very busy week. I did a show yesterday, Sunday. I'm doing a show today. I might get another one done today. We'll have to see. do my regular show. Tomorrow's Tuesday, the 5th. And then I'll do another show Wednesday and Thursday and Friday, and then I'm out. I'm out. Going to Kentucky for 2 weeks. But you will have plenty of stuff to listen to because I, unlike these other guys, am not going to leave you hanging. So, now, do I have to do shows? No, I don't. I don't have to do shows. There's 375 shows out there. There's plenty of stuff for y'all to listen to. But to try and stay somewhat in the mix, I guess, I need to do something, right? And so without trying to be topical, and I will say this also, I do have the ability to not talk, but I do have the ability to do a podcast with my phone. Granted, the sound won't be as great, but I'll say this about that. If the need arises for me to do a show while I'm in Kentucky, then I will do a show. So, nevertheless, I'm always here. And if you want to watch the antics of Don Q while he's on vacation in Kentucky, the land of bourbon, you can follow me on social media, Don't Tread on America, on Facebook, Instagram, True Social, and the Ticker Talker. Now, I've said this before, guys, you guys know, but if you're new, the Ticker Talker is strictly drink situations, drink videos, and considering I'll be in the land of milk and honey, well, actually bourbon, I might post some videos. So, I'm not saying that I will, but I'm not saying that I won't, so follow us on there, and then if you have any questions, concerns, you can message me through all the social media apps, also on the Twitter X machine at dtom_1775. And if you're not on social media, that's fine. I understand. You can check us out at DontTreadOnAmerica.com. If you send me stuff, although I'm on vacation, that's fine. I will look at it. I'll respond. And we can have a conversation with whatever you're sending me. Also, guys, if you want to help me out and help the show, you're not helping me out, but if you want to help the show out, guys, go to Reaper Apparel Company. Check them out at ReaperApparelCo.com. Use promo code DTOM to get 10% off your order. Also, don't forget about the DTOM store, guys. DTOM store is still kicking, so check it out. And, t-shirts, sweatshirts, and all sorts of stuff. Check it out. Help the show out. And if you're on Apple or Spotify, guys, if you could please give the show a review, 5-star preferably, if you want to say anything about how great I'm doing, that is awesome too. You can do that. And don't forget, you can follow the show on Rumble at Don't Tread on America TV. Now, I'm not videoing. There you go. These vacation shows, mainly because I don't know that I can schedule them to come out. When I do the show tomorrow, that's last week. So anyway, I'll have to look at it. If it's something that I can schedule, then maybe I will. It doesn't matter. You can listen to it. You don't need to see my ugly ass. All right. So, today's show is going to be something different. This is probably the conspiracy of all conspiracy theories that is out there. And it's called the straw man theory. Have you ever heard of the straw man theory? And if you haven't, what is it? Now, when I tell you that this is the conspiracy theory of all conspiracy theories, it works like this. Okay. Take your top 10 conspiracy theories that are popular. Popular conspiracy theories. And you will see that you can find information on all those things. JFK, moon landing, whatever, name it. And you can find some kind of information on it. You'll find some things that seem like they're factual, some things that seem like they're not, and some things that just are so... Here's the way I look at it. The term conspiracy theory works for me like this. Whenever I hear someone say to somebody or something that or you are a conspiracy theorist or that's a theory, you know, conspiracy theory, I automatically dismiss what that person's saying and I'm just going to assume that that's the truth. Why? Because in my life or in my history of doing this show, especially since doing this show, I guess I should say, the more that I research stuff, and especially like when we were doing the DTOM files, those were strictly a lot about conspiracy theories. And, you know, we found that a lot of that stuff actually could have been true. To the point where, you know, when Chris and I, before we even started doing the show, you know, we would talk about different things. And, you know, we both were skeptical of the whole moon landing. For example, we'll use moon landing for example. Did we go? Did we not go? Did it matter? Does it matter? Did we not go, but did we say we went for a purpose of making not so much us, the American people, believe, but make everyone believe, the Russians, whoever else, to show that we were dominant, but maybe we really weren't. And that's kind of the point I came up with. I don't think that we actually went to the moon. I think we had to fool everybody. We couldn't tell the American people, look, guys, we're just going to do this to fool the Russians. We're not really going. So they had to fool everybody. And I think for the most part, they did. And then as people started to ask questions, oh, your conspiracies. And now that term started after JFK's murder. So anytime people use that word, I always get skeptical, because conspiracy theory is a word that people use to dismiss whatever you're saying. When in actuality, the word is, what is a conspiracy? A conspiracy means that it takes two or more people, right? And a theory is just an idea. So you have an idea that a bunch of people might have been involved in something, whatever that something is. So it's not crazy, but for some reason, that word, those two words, I guess I should say, put together, just automatically equates to the word crazy, when it's not. It's just an idea. And theories are made to be proven. Theories are also made to be dismissed, but when it comes to a conspiracy theory, it's automatically dismissed. And when it comes to the straw man theory, which is, in my belief, the greatest conspiracy theory of all time. Why do I say that? Because nobody wants to talk about it, and those that do are deemed crazy. Not crazy like Biden stole the election. Oh, that's a conspiracy theory. You're crazy. The CIA killed JFK. Oh, that's a conspiracy theory. You're crazy. This is legitimately crazy. So what is... okay, Don, so why are you telling us? You don't even believe it. I'm not saying I don't believe it. I'm saying that there is so little information on this that everything you find about the straw man theory is deemed fake. Like, it's so suppressed, and I'm talking, I've like I just said earlier, I'm actually recording this on the 4th of March, so in reference, I've been researching this for 2 weeks now. Usually I can research a show if it's a topic, not so much when I'm doing like current news type stuff, but I can usually research something in a day. Now once I start digging, if it's something I'm researching, I start digging, and I'm like, okay, this is what I think I'm going to talk about today or tomorrow, whatever. I start researching, blah, 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 blah. Now, if it starts getting really deep, then I got to keep looking. So then I push it back a day. So this was actually a show I was going to just do a show, like 2 weeks ago. So that's how long I've been digging into this. So let me get started on what is the straw man theory. Now, what I'm going to use here is we're just going to go straight into Wikipedia, because it doesn't automatically call everybody that believes this idiots. It uses the word pseudo legal and ideologies and those type of things. So it is a pseudo legal conspiracy theory originating in the Redemption A4V movement and prevalent in anti-government and tax protest movements such as Sovereign Citizens and Freedom on the Land. So, real quick, if you know what those are. So, Sovereign Citizens are... it's like, come on, pull up. Is a loose group of anti-government activists, tax protesters, financial scammers, and conspiracy theorists. Based mainly in the United States, Sovereign Citizens have their own pseudo-legal belief system based on the fact that that they don't believe common laws are meant to be enforced by man, essentially. And obviously, a tax protester is someone who refuses to pay tax, claiming the tax laws are unconstitutional or otherwise valid. Tax protesters are different from tax resistors who refuse to pay taxes as a protest against government or its policies. So, what is the Redemption A4V movement? So, it is an element of a pseudo-law movement, mainly active in the United States and Canada, that promotes fraudulent debt payment schemes. Now, what they do with that, now this is where it gets kind of wonky. So, in the videos and stuff that I watched about that, is they believe that if you owe money to whoever, that... It's kind of confusing. So there are some people out there that, and this isn't necessarily false. So if you are a person that gets a bunch of debt collector calls, right? You know, this is Bob Johnson from, you know, McGillicuddy, and you owe, you know, the Bank of America, you know, $10,000 because you had a credit card, blah, blah, blah. Once a debt collector assumes that responsibility, then they've paid the debt. So really, you don't owe Bank of America anything. Now you owe, you know, Johnson & Johnson's legal department or whatever. And in all actuality, you can argue the fact that you never took money from Johnson & Johnson. They bought the, you know, and that's your pseudo-legal situation. Another way that these people do things is they... It's about your birth certificate and your Social Security number. And that's kind of where I'm going to go with all this today. Because the theory holds that an individual has two personas. One of flesh and blood, and the other is a separate legal personality, i.e. the straw man. And one's legal responsibility belongs to the straw man rather than the physical individual. So, in other words... If you look at your birth certificate, your Social Security card, your driver's license, any legal document, you buy a car, you buy a house, you get a loan for some reason. All that paperwork is drawn up how? Your name is on the paperwork, your wife's name, whatever, and it's in all caps. Okay? So the belief is that when the all caps is used, that those documents aren't you. Your name is, Bob Johnson, capital B, lowercase b, lowercase b, capital J, you know what I'm saying? It's not capital B-O-B-J-O-H-N, you know. It's, so, pseudo-law advocates claim that it is possible through the use of certain redemption procedures and documents to spread oneself from the straw man, therefore becoming free of law. Hence, the main use of straw man theory is escaping and denying liabilities and legal responsibilities. Tax protesters, commercial redemption, and the get-out-of-debt scams claim that one debts and taxes are the responsibility of the straw man, not the real person. So, in other words, they're saying that your IRS taxes, you're like you get a ticket from driving. Well, you drive, you get pulled over by the police, you show them your driver's license. That's the straw man. It's not me. So you're giving the ticket to that person, not me. So as I explain this, obviously, it sounds pretty fucking crazy. But the idea of what they're saying isn't necessarily crazy. Now, before you stop listening to the show and say, I've lost my fucking mind, please just stick with me because it's going to make sense, okay? I'm not telling you that I believe this is the case. The way they, when I say they, the way Wikipedia, remember I'm using Wikipedia right now, the way Wikipedia is explaining this makes it sound 100% ludicrous. I'm reading this and thinking, this is nuts. I'm telling you that, okay? But I also know that I'm reading this from Wikipedia. And you might be asking, Don, why in the fuck are you using Wikipedia if you yourself don't agree with what it's saying? I'm telling you this from a point of this. When it comes to using Wikipedia for whatever you use it for, you have to be cautious of the ulterior motives, okay? The idea behind the straw man theory, if you take all of the stuff I just said out of it, the pseudo-legal, the redemption, the sovereign citizens, that stuff, if you take that out of it, and you even take the part of the straw man, because in my opinion, I think, as I've done the research, I think that Wikipedia has used the idea of what these people were talking about to make it sound like they're crazy. But in actuality, what they're saying is that Bob, I'm using Bob Johnson because he's a made-up person, right? But you, Bob Johnson, are Bob Johnson. You were born Bob Johnson. You were born to, you know, Mr. and Mrs. Johnson. And what did Mr. and Mrs. Johnson do when Bob Johnson was born? When Robert Johnson was born, what did his parents do? When your child was born, what did you do? You signed a what? Birth certificate. That birth certificate then made you, in a roundabout way, a ward of the government. And you lived with your parents, you did those things, and your parents raised you for the most part. Most of us had that. Not everybody, I get it, but it, you know, whatever. Why do you think it is that in any state in this country that the state, whatever state, Florida, Georgia, wherever you live, can come into your home and deem you unfit and take your child away from you? And maybe you didn't even do anything. It's because you signed a document giving the state that right to do so. And even if you were born in, for example, I was born in Pennsylvania. Okay. We moved to Florida when I was like 8 or, yeah, 7 or 8, something like that. And if you could say, well, the birth certificate was signed in Pennsylvania, you live in, you know, Florida now, they can't do that. It's not about the state per se. It's a government piece of paper. Because then when you sign that birth certificate, you are issued what? You are issued a Social Security number. Now, I'll get into the Social Security number aspect of all this here in just a little bit. But essentially, your Social Security number is what? Your identification, okay? And once again, is a documentation in all caps, birth certificate, all caps. Everything you sign that is a legal form is in all caps. And that's where the people that use the straw man theory get their thought process from, okay? So the idea of the straw man theory comes from a very, very, very old law, okay? So I'm going to try and pronounce this because this is, I don't even know what language this is, but Setakay Trust Act of 1666. So over, you know, understanding the set to KV Act of 1666 is also the existence of life. So in London, in 1666, during the Black Plague and the Great Fires of London, Parliament enacted an act behind closed door called Set to KV Act 1666. That being debated was a subrogate the rights of men and women, meaning all men and all women were declared dead, lost at sea, beyond sea. Back then, operating in admiralty law, the law of the sea, so lost at sea. The state took custody of everybody and their property into a trust. The state became the trustee, the husband holding all titles of the property of the people and the property until a living man comes back to reclaim those titles. He can also claim damages. When capital letters are used anywhere in the name, this always refers to a legal entity or fiction. Company or corporations are no exceptions. So, in other words, your name, okay, so we use Bob Johnson. If Bob Johnson's name is in all caps, it's not Bob Johnson that you know. It's his entity. So back in 1666, the country of England, the state, whatever you want to call it, basically proclaimed everyone dead. Even though everyone wasn't dead, they proclaimed everyone dead. And then moved all their stuff into a trust and then reevaluated everyone's situation. So the Set to Kay Trust, it was a common term that's used in New Zealand and in Australia. Now, in America, it's called the straw man. And that's a common term in America and in Canada. So there are legal entities created and owned by the government whom created it. It is like owning a share in the stock market. You might actually own a share, but it's still a share of stock. Legally, we are considered to be a fiction, a concept, or idea expressed by name, a symbol. That legal person has no consequences. It is a juris person, a name or a word written on a piece of paper. This traces back to 1666. London is an independent city-state, just like the Vatican is an independent city-state, just like Washington, D.C. is an independent city-state. Now, just a throwback, I did actually do a show on those called the city-states, if you want to go check it out. I think it was a couple months ago. Anyway, the Crown is an unincorporated association. Why unincorporated? It's private. The Temple Bar is in London. Every lawyer called to the quote-unquote bar swears allegiance to the Temple Bar. You cannot get called without swearing this allegiance. Our only way out is to reclaim your deed entity, the straw man, that the Crown created, become the executor, and then collapsed the called set to K via trust, and forgive yourself of all debts, and then remove yourself from the admiralty law that holds you in custody. When London burned, the subrogation of men's and women's right occurred. The Responsibility Act passed, which was the Set to KV Act in 1666, meant all men and women of UK were declared dead and lost beyond the seas. The state took everybody and everybody's property into a trust. The state takes control until the living man or woman comes back and claims their titles, providing they are alive and the claims for damages can be made. This is why you always need representation when involved in legal matters, because you're dead. You're not physically dead, you're legally dead. The legal fiction is a construct on paper in an estate in trust. When you get a bill or summons from a court, it is always in capital letters, similar to a tombstone in graveyards. Capital letters signify death. They are written to the dead legal fiction. A legal fiction was created when somebody informed the government that there was a new vessel in town based upon your birth. Birth certificates are issued to us by the document, just as ships are given birth certificates at the dock. It's about commerce. We come from our mother's waters. Your mother has a birth canal, just like a ship. The ship moves by the sea current, just as we are able to move by the currency. All this information relates to how the general public are still legally tied through maritime admiralty law. Through this ancient legal construct, we can be easily controlled and duped. Learning about your legal fiction helps you unlock yourself. Otherwise, you are just an empty vessel floating on the sea of commerce. Parents are tricked into registering the birth of their babies. In about 1837, the Births, Deaths, and Marriage Act was formed in the UK, and the post of the Registrar General was established. His job was to collect all data from churches which held the records of birth. All people are seen to be custody of the quote-unquote crown. This allows people to function in commerce and to accept the benefits provided by state. We have to understand who we are as men and women and how we can relate to the system. The City of London is a center for markets where merchants work. Then there are mercantile law. It comes from admiralty law. Look at the symbols in your city courts. They are related to admiralty. So where you have commerce and money, you also have quote-unquote justice and quote-unquote injury. You need to understand the bankruptcy before you can understand the judiciary. We have accepted the claim to accept the summons, yet only the dead can be summoned. There is an obligation to accept any liability which has been created. So we are operating in admiralty. A not guilty plea or any plea admits jurisdiction. The straw man, aka legal fiction, is always guilty. Barristers and solicitors make a living out of creating controversy. By creating a controversy, you become liable for the case. So in honor and dishonor, to remain in honor, you have to accept the claim and discharge it. You know, you have to settle it. When you add conditions, i.e., for example, I accept on proof of claim of proof of loss. This gives the liability back to them. The legal fiction is always guilty. Only in the high court can a real man or woman appear. Games are played on courts, hence the name court. It is a game with actors. It has to be treated as a game just business. Courtroom dramas are misinformation. In the public, we are operating in bankruptcy, and you receive benefits. It takes a lot of time, effort, and study to understand and use these tools. You have to be prepared to go through the process to get the right tool out of your toolbox at the right time. You need to learn how to act as a creation of God rather than man. So, what do you guys think, right? Pretty crazy. But now, this is law. This isn't something I'm making up. These are laws. Now, to further more that, so hold on. I see I make a quotation here. Give me a second, guys. Give me a second. I got you. Oh, come on, man. All right. So, how does it, now a lot of that what I just talked about was in London, England. Now you have these city states: London, Vatican, D.C. In D.C., we see similar situations. Now, to bring us to what concerns you, what concerns me, what concerns the American people. So, we have a thing, and I've talked about this in the past. It's called the Federal Reserve. Now, the name Federal Reserve gives the idea to most people that the government controls the Federal Reserve or the Fed, when in actuality, it's the other way around. The government, the Fed, the Federal Reserve is not a government entity. It is a private business. It is a private entity, just as the Bank of London is and the Bank of different city-states and different countries are. The thing is these quote-unquote banks or reserves fall under the rule of the Rothschild family. Now, I've done shows about this, so I don't want to go back through all of that, but back in 17, no. so essentially, the Rothschilds started into banking by loaning governments money, so on and so forth. So if you look at money in your pocket right now, if you pull out a dollar bill, it says Federal Reserve note. It's not money. You're borrowing that money. That money's not even yours. It might be in your possession, but it's not your money. That is money that you are borrowing from the, no, Don, I made this money from my work. That's funny because you're still borrowing. You ever wonder why you pay the taxes you pay? Look at your check. You pay, what do you pay? You pay your income tax, then you pay, FICA? You pay, what is FICA? Does anyone ever ask what FICA is? Well, FICA is your dues that you owe to the Federal Reserve for borrowing money. No, I work for this money. Right, it's not your money. The Federal Reserve Act was passed through the House with only three members of Congress. They were on the floor at the time. They only needed the majority of the votes to pass it. So in 1913, the Federal Reserve Act was passed. Now, the Central Bank of the United States had been in existence for 100 plus years prior to this. Now, the Central Bank of America was created back, Aaron Burr. And the Central Bank of America at the time was not controlled by an outside entity. It was controlled by the federal government. Now, there was plenty of presidents during this time that totally opposed the Fed, like a Federal Reserve type thing. They believed that in the time, in the 1700s and 1800s, they believed that the states could create their own money and all the value would be the same, but it was up to the states to maintain it. Now, in the 1800s, they came to the central banking system where you actually had American money versus Florida money, Georgia money, South Carolina, you know what I'm saying? Which makes sense, because if you're going to be a country, even though you're a union of states, it just makes sense. The problem is as the 1800s grew, which some people, like if you look at Abraham Lincoln, for example, and I've even talked about this before, but, you know, we talked about the Civil War, and most people believe that the Civil War had everything to do about slavery, when in actuality, I always tell you, every politician's a magician. They're always doing something over here while they're fucking you over here. And it's hard for me to make an argument to say that Abraham Lincoln was a crook, was a dirty bastard, because the argument is that he was one of the greatest presidents because he freed the slaves. Well, I've made the argument that he freed the African slaves. I believe that, but in turn made us all slaves because he was one of the ones he first implemented income tax. So as a way to pay for the war. So when you guys want to praise, when we want to praise Abraham Lincoln and say that he was a great president because he, freed the slaves, I I'm not saying that didn't happen because, you know, I guess I have to believe what history books tell me. But I can also say that really all he did was free one group from slavery to enact everybody into slavery. And the slavery that you're in is to the government. Why do I say that? Well, you pay taxes. That flashes back to your straw man theory that people believe that they shouldn't have to pay taxes because why should I have to pay for what the government does? The government should make plenty enough money to be able to take care of things between, say, like sales tax and those types of things. I mean, even if you wanted to go as far as saying we should pay a flat tax, maybe, but to have your paycheck raped by 10, 20, 30% every week, and you have no control over where that money goes, not to mention FICA. No one even really talks about that. No one even talks about it. You're just taking money. They just take money from you to pay to the Federal Reserve because when you were born, your parents signed a birth certificate, and that birth certificate registered you as an entity of the state. So, where was I going with all this before that ring went off and threw me off? So, I'm gonna read on what I had here. So, in 1913, the Federal Reserve Act was passed. 20 years later, in 1933, under Roosevelt, the United States was declared bankrupt. In 1933, the Federal Reserve, which is a private entity, right, said, okay, USA, what are you going to pledge as collateral on the debt that you owe me? So, just like any bank would do to you if you stop paying on your house note, the bank would come to your house and say, look, you owe us $100,000. What do you have to put up some collateral or pay your money or get out of the house, right? So what are you going to do? So what happened in 1936? Does anybody know? Well, that's when we instituted the Social Security system. And you and I and our children's children were pledged as collateral on the debt of our government to the Federal Reserve. And that's where we are at today. It took only 20 years to bankrupt this country. And it is not the president that makes the decision in this country. It is the Secretary of the Treasury who turns around and is put there by the Reserve to manage the bankruptcy. We've been in bankruptcy ever since. So that's, if you think about it, whenever we talk about we're in debt, right? The national debt is this number. That's what this is referring to. If you, me, whoever, if we were in debt, if I was in debt, I guess technically we are all in debt. If you own a house and you own cars and maybe you have a credit card, you're in debt. But the difference is we can pay, you can pay your house payment, you can pay your car payment, you can pay whatever. What happens when you can't pay those things? If you can't pay your car payment, your house payment, credit card payment, they're going to come get your car, they're going to kick you out of your house, and they're going to cut off your credit cards, right? So what do you think if we're what, I don't even know what the number is, and I was 30-something trillion dollars in debt, and maybe it's higher, hell, I don't even know, but whatever that number is, are we in debt? Who are we in debt to? Well, we're in debt to the Federal Reserve, and we've been in debt to them ever since 1913. And so the Federal Reserve, we needed something. So what they did was, and like I said, in 36, they passed Social Security system. Now, we were made to believe that in 36, now this was all in the midst of the Great Depression, that the Social Security Act was there for you, me, and the next person, so we'd have a pension. And the funny thing is most people back in those days, especially in the 40s and the 50s, after you got out of the Great Depression, worked for companies that did give pensions. Now, nowadays, pensions are a thing of the past. Now, I'm fortunate enough to work for a company where I actually have a pension. But anyone that works for the company I work for that's newer, they don't have a pension. It's just that I've been there for so long. The government, enacted this bill under the guise of, well, 1936, you know, everyone will have a pension this way. Well, the thing is about Social Security, and you guys know this, is if you don't work, there's really not much Social Security there, because why? Because you pay in to Social Security. But the whole point of the Social Security system had nothing to do with your well-being. It was so that you could be used as an asset to pay off a debt or pay towards a debt. And that's where your FICA on your paycheck comes into account. Now, no, you don't think about this stuff when you have a baby. When you're especially if you're a young person and you have a baby and you're like, oh, baby's born. So you're so happy or you're so freaked out or you're all the above that the nurse or whoever it is comes into the room maybe like the day after you had the baby. And, you know, they ask you, you know, so what are we going to name the baby? You know, what are we going to name the little boy, the little girl, whatever it is? We're going to name it Bob Johnson. We're going to name it Robert Bean Johnson. And they're like, okay, so Robert Johnson. And the mother is Betty Johnson. And the father is Robert Johnson Sr. Yes, okay, so you guys need to sign right here stating you're the mother and you're the father. And so on and so forth. And you don't think nothing about it because it's a momentous occasion. And you don't think nothing about it because you have a birth certificate. Your wife has a birth certificate. You don't think nothing about it. And in my opinion, not to get off on a whole nother tangent, but I think that's how vaccines went rampant in this country. Back when I was a kid, there was just a handful of vaccines. Now there's, 562 vaccines. And it's under the same, it's kind of under the same principle and the same guides as the birth certificate. You don't ask questions. You just, yeah, go ahead. You know, you don't think about it because surely the doctor's not going to do anything that's going to harm your child, right? And I'm not going to get into that because that's a show for another day. I'm not going to not get into it. I'm just not getting into it now because it doesn't have really anything to do with this. I'm just using the comparison of how naive we as people are. And the problem is when you ask a question, then you're crazy. Let me ask you this. If you were to have a child right now, and while you're in the hospital, like the day after, the nurse or whoever it is that comes in and says, oh, what are we going to name the kid? You know, sign here, sign here. What do you think they would say if you chose not to sign that? Both of y'all. If both the mother and the father said, you know what? We're not comfortable signing that document without our lawyer present or something along those lines. What do you think they would say to you? They would try to convince Mr. and Mrs. Johnson, this is just the birth ticket of your child, showing that he was born here at, you know, the, you know, Tampa Hospital, you know, on, you know, March 11th, 2024, while listening to the D-Tom show. And you might be like, yeah, I'm being stupid. Okay, I'll sign it. But what if you didn't? What do you, I mean, that's a good question. I don't know. I'm just asking a question. What would happen if you didn't sign those paperwork? Would your child not exist? Because he's fucking there. he's shitting in diapers. He's sucking on the titty. He's there. Does he not exist now because you didn't sign that piece of paper? That's interesting. That's something I should have thought about before I did the show. Anyway. So, you know, they print billions and billions of dollars and just give it away. To you, to, maybe not to you, I damn sure ain't to me, but to people in this country. But more importantly, to people not in this country. At least I would say this. If we were in debt to ourselves because we spent too much money on ourselves, well, at least you're having fun spending your own money. Like if you're in debt in your own personal life and you drive a Ferrari and you live in a big ass house and you're living way beyond your means, at least you're having fun spending the money. No, but in this country, we spend billions and trillions of dollars, and we don't even benefit from it. I don't benefit from it. You probably don't benefit from it. Most Americans don't benefit from it. Other countries benefit from it. So which leads me to believe that this isn't even about America. This is more of a one world situation, and it's controlled by the IDF, right? Is IDF? That's the Israel thing. Was it International Bank? The Banking Foundation, whatever it is. I can't think of the name. You know what I'm talking about. The banking cartels across the country, which is not like Bank of America and whoever else, Wells Fargo. It's the Rothschilds. It's the central banks of every country, which is ran by one entity. Those are the people that are saying, America, you need to give X amount of billions of dollars to Ukraine. You need to give X amount of billion dollars to this country and that country and Israel and whoever and this person, that person. Because we own you and we're telling you to do this. And then we as Americans get pissed off because we don't really understand what the fuck's going on because we have our own problems here. I've talked about it on this show. How can we give billions of dollars to Ukraine when we've got homeless in the street, ain't got nothing to eat, and, you know, obese milk and welfare, right? That's a little shout out to a song there if you know it. But so, you know, how do they get away with it? You know, banks, we're in bankruptcy, right? We're in bankruptcy. If you're bankrupt, if you are a personal person and you have claimed bankruptcy, are you giving money to your neighbor? No. You know why? Because you don't have any fucking money. So this is just the way it is. Is it right? No. Sure as shit. But I'm going to play this clip. This is from Alan Greenspan. This is way back in the day. And just listen to what he has to say here, and we'll come back on the backside.
What is the proper relationship, what should be the proper relationship between a chairman of the Fed and a president of the United States?
Well, first of all, the Federal Reserve is an independent agency, and that means basically that there is no other agency of government which can overrule actions that we take. So long as that is in place, and there is no evidence that the administration or the Congress or anybody else is requesting that we do things other than what we think is the appropriate thing, then what the relationships are don't frankly matter.
So as Greenspan had just said, the Federal Reserve is beyond the law. In reality, they are in practice beyond the law, and nobody, as far as we can tell, has ever audited the Federal Reserve. Now, you'll hear people, you'll hear conspiracy theorists say that the only two men that have ever tried to audit the Fed was Lincoln and Kennedy. You know, you'll see a picture of Lincoln and Kennedy. What do these two men have in common? They both tried to audit the Fed. Well, I'm here to tell you, not true, because as if you were listening, I just told you the Fed was created in 1913, and I think, pretty sure, I'm not 100%, but I'm pretty sure Lincoln was dead already, like 50 years ago. So that's not true. And in actuality, the Federal Reserve, the Federal Reserve had never instantly went into John Kennedy. And that's not what y'all kind of, the Federal Reserve has never been audited. There is a president who made that suggestion, and that president was assassinated, and his name was JFK. So is there any comparison? I don't know. Maybe so. Could have been. Maybe not. I don't know. But it is interesting how anytime a president brings up the idea of going against the Fed, that something happened. You had that with Nixon. Well, Nixon didn't get killed. No, but he got fucking murdered politically, right? They don't always got to kill you to prove a point. They can shoot you in the armpit, right, Reagan? They can do things. Now, the last group of presidents we've had, you know, maybe they're all on board. And I'm not even not talking about Trump. I'm talking about all of them. So one of the first things that we have to go after when we nationalize the Fed is go in there and find out who stole the money. who's engaged in the corruption. And it goes back to all the different Federal Reserve chairmen that we've had up till the current one now. These people, who's it? That's not Victoria Nuland, but who in the fuck is that lady? But you know what I'm talking about. The chick now, the white hair chick. These people, you don't think they hold much power because they're just chairman. They're the go-between person between the Fed and the government. When in actuality, like Greenspan, you heard what he said. You heard what he said. So these people and the Fed and our government is involved in this. You know, it is an established fact that the United States government, I'm sorry, the United States federal government has been dissolved by the Emergency Banking Act of 1933. And this is in 48 Stat 1, Public Law 87-719, declared by President Roosevelt being bankrupt and insolvent. H.R. 192 in the 73rd Congress in session of June 5th in 1933, the joint resolution to suspend the gold standard and abrogate the gold clause dissolved the sovereign authority of the United States in the official capacity of the United States government office, officers, and departments, and it's further evidence that the United States federal government exists only today in name only. So, yeah, you know, you think back to 1933, during all this stuff, they also confiscated your gold. If you had gold, you had to turn it in. You were not allowed to own more than, I think it was $30 or $100 of gold at any given time until 1974, when the gold standard was repealed. And who was president when this happened? Well, that was Nixon. And then shortly after this happened, what happened to him? Watergate. Now, I'm not saying that Nixon wasn't a dirty son of a bitch. I also will say that I believe every single president that we've had up till today, since before Nixon, were probably all dirty sons of bitches that have some sort of dirt on them. And it isn't until you go against the grain that causes those things to happen, which makes me believe that, or makes me want to believe, I guess, that the things that are happening to Trump is maybe because he's pushing against the grain. At least that's what I want to believe. I want to believe that he's actually there for us and that that's why all these different things are happening to him. I mean, who's to say? I'll say this. It'd be interesting, and he'll never say this until at least he would be elected, but it would be interesting to see if he'd be willing to go against the Federal Reserve. Because once he's in there, if he wins, he has no reason to not throw every piece of shit he's got in his ass to the wall and see what sticks, because he doesn't need to get reelected. So, I don't know. But know this. I said this a while back when I did a show about Lincoln. I told you what I just said, that when he freed the slaves, and that's the story that we were told, that that's why the Civil War, when in actuality, the Civil War had nothing, for the most part, had nothing to do with slavery. It was more about states' rights. And subsequently, the golden trophy was the quote-unquote freeing of the slaves. But during the course of the Civil War, he also signed the Income Tax Act, which is what we all have to deal with now. So just know, is the straw man theory real? Is it really something that exists? Yes, it is. The way Wikipedia explains it makes it sound crazier than shit. The fact that this is actually a law, or the idea of it, became a law in 1666 in England, before America was even America, means that The strawman theory has been around probably since the creation of this country because it came from England. It's not something that some guy back in 1985 decided to bring up because he didn't want to pay his taxes anymore. It's something. Now, like I said, the way Wikipedia describes it makes it sound crazy and outlandish. But if you put everything together, you'll understand what those individuals are trying to tell you, me, and the next person, that when you're born, you're signed over as a ward of the state. When I mean state, I don't necessarily mean Florida, Georgia, wherever you're from. I'm talking about the state as in the government, the state as in the city-state of Washington, D.C. That is why you pay federal income tax. That is why you pay FICA. You ever wonder why, if you own a business, let's say you mow lawns for a living, and there's plenty of people, I don't know anybody personally, but I know I see them all around, and there's plenty of people that you see that mow yards that drive very nice vehicles and they have nice equipment, so they're obviously making a nice living doing that. Now, I would assume that most of these individuals probably have a legitimate business license, and they probably pay taxes, and they pay employees to work for them, and they pay their, you know, those employees pay taxes. But you know there's some, and I don't care. I don't really give a shit. But I guarantee you there's a handful of guys out there that mow yards for a living that only accept cash, you know, and might only charge $20 a week or whatever it is, and they mow, you know, however many yards a week, and they probably make a nice little living or at least a nice little second income, and it's all cash money. Now, why do you think that in recent times you've seen this government today talk about wanting to tax Venmo and PayPal and those types of things? Well, it's because of that, because a lot of times people own these businesses. And for example, we had the dog, we have a mobile groomer comes and does our dog. Do you take, is it only cash or do you take card? Well, it's mainly cash, but I can do Venmo. Well, I'm old. I don't even know how to work Venmo. So here's cash. But point being is that's the reason you have a lot of independent individuals who do dog grooming, do yard work, do whatever, and they do Venmo. So the government saw this and said, hey, we're not getting our fair shake. These motherfuckers aren't paying taxes on that Venmo. They're not paying their Federal Reserve tax. They're not paying their income tax. Those are two different situations on your check. You don't get to claim them both when you file your taxes. You just do federal income. You don't FICA. You're fucked on that. So those are the reasons why these things happen, because you, as a person, okay, how do you think it comes about that they could say, you know, Bob Johnson really hasn't been paying much in FICA or his Federal Reserve? Says he only works 20 hours a week, you know, at McDonald's, whatever. We need to dig into that, because, you know, it shows here that he just bought a Corvette. How the fuck did he do that? And, you know, 5 years ago, he bought, you know, $10,000 in yard equipment or, you know, whatever. Probably more than that, but you know what I'm saying. It's because when Bob Johnson was born, his parents signed a waiver saying that he was born to Mr. and Mrs. Bont Johnson, and his social security number is 1234567 89, and he is in debt to the Federal Reserve, and we need to get our fair shake. That's why a lot of the problems that we have are what we have, and that's where the straw man theory comes into play. Because those documents are all filled out with uppercase letters. It doesn't describe you, the person. So, with that being said, I hope it wasn't too crazy for you guys. But trust me, there's more to this. And I encourage you to do your own research. Look up straw man theory. Look up the creation of Social Security and the Federal Reserve Act. And guys, please make sure you follow the show. Whatever podcast app you're listening to this on, make sure you're following the show, that you share this show. If you're on Apple or Spotify, please, if you could help me out and give me a rating. And follow us on social media. Don't Tread on America on Facebook. Not America, but Don't Tread on America on Facebook, Instagram, TikTok. in True Social and on the Twitter X Machine at DTom_1775. Don't forget about our website, DontTreadOnAmerica.com. You can email me, DonQ@DontTreadOnAmerica.com. And don't forget about our sponsors, ReaperApparelCo.com. Use DTom in the promo. And the DTom store, guys. The links are all at the bottom of the podcast app. And once you're listening to the song, you guys have a fantastic day. And I'll be back. I'm going to drink some bourbon. I'm in Kentucky. Let's have some fun. Let's go.